Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. A quick preview of today's docket. First, Barry Morphew walks out of the courthouse a free man. Second, the judge is going to decide where the trial will be held for Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell, and she had an arraignment today. I know it's a civil case, but we must talk about the Johnny Depp Amber Heard train wreck that's taking place as we speak. And then an update on two cases from yesterday, one being the Orsala Gall matter, and then a reason why you shouldn't drug your kids at daycare. And then finally, our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You know the drill. My name is Scott Reich. If you haven't done so already, please hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, leave me a comment. Make sure you get that bell over there so you receive notices of when we put up new content or go live. Remember, you can also listen to us on your favorite podcasting app by searching Crime Talk with Scott Reich. And you want to leave us maybe a 5-star review on Spotify as a free way to support Crime Talk. All right, before we get into today's docket, please support the sponsors who support the channel. Today, that's right, it's our favorite background subscription service. Everyone should have a background subscription service at their fingertips. Whether you are considering allowing new people into your life, concerned about those who may already be there, but not sure if they're telling you everything, well, guess what? You can go check them out, and whether you just want to check them out or be an online sleuth, this is the way to do it. So when you go to Crime Talk Search, literally in a matter of minutes, you will receive a comprehensive background search of an individual, including criminal records, property records, divorce records, sex offender registration records, as well as civil judgments. All the things that you may want to know about a person that maybe they're just not disclosing to you. Now, we have received many notes from people saying, hey, thank you. I was getting involved with somebody and I found out they had actually been arrested for wrongs to minors. They put a halt to that immediately. Others have said, hey, I was starting to date somebody, did a background check, found out they had a history of domestic violence. You know as well as I do, past performance is indicative of future results. Don't be a victim. Go to crimetalksearch.com, get your subscription today. Remember, whether you're searching 100 people a day or one person over the course of the subscription, it's all there for you anytime you want it, and you can cancel at any time. All right, let's get to the docket. Let's open the record for Tuesday, April 19th, 2022. It is the day where Barry Morphew walks out of the courthouse a free man. Now, as we brought you the information yesterday, today, the Barry Morphew matter was set for a pretrial readiness conference. That's where everybody has to announce that we are ready to go to trial. And I said, well, if the prosecution is going to dismiss this case, they're going to have to do it now because the jury commissioner is ordering all those jurors. And if you're going to inconvenience all those jurors and have a trial and have jeopardy attached, well, guess what? Today was the drop dead date. So 9 minutes before the pretrial conference, the district attorney filed a motion to dismiss without prejudice. What does that mean? They're trying to keep the door open so that they can refile if they have new evidence. Now, the first thing you say is, wow, this looks like it's in bad faith. Speedy trial was coming up. A trial, which they were not prepared for, was coming up. The DA has to come up with some face-saving information, an argument to make to the court so that the case is just not completely done. Although, I will say it here right now, the case is done, okay? Short of somebody confessing to this case, I doubt the charges will ever be brought. But what does the DA say when it comes to why we must allow this case to basically maybe come back? Maybe. Well, the DA says the police are getting really close to finding the remains of Suzanne Morphew. They believe that it is in a very rugged area near the Morphew house, and they have been unable to get to that location because there is at least 5 feet of snow still covering the proposed search site right now. And then what does the district attorney say? They say that, well, we really can't prove this case without a body. Who's been saying that since day one? Makes it very, very difficult unless you have a confession or somebody else, an eyewitness that was there and said, this is the reason why you're not going to find the body. And then the final reason was the district attorney said, well, they can't prove their case beyond a reasonable doubt because, well, Judge, you gutted our motions. The third reason in the motion for the motion to dismiss was that the people cannot prove their case beyond a reasonable doubt. Well, the reason they can't prove their case beyond a reasonable doubt was because the judge completely gutted their case, not allowing 14 of the 16 endorsed expert witnesses to testify. Now you say, man, that judge must be some sort of renegade. No, he is not. Witnesses were barred because of the people. That's right. The elected DA who prosecuted this case, Linda Stanley, is the only one to blame. They missed the court deadlines. They missed the court dates that were set by the court in the case management order. And it is on her. Don't be upset with Barry Morphew. Do not be upset with the defense attorneys in this case. Be upset with the prosecutor. The prosecutors are the ones with the burden of proving their case beyond a reasonable doubt, and they have an ethical obligation only to take a case which they think they can prove at trial unanimously to a jury of 12 people beyond a reasonable doubt. Oh, and the DA mentions that as well, that they have this. They should have remembered that when they filed this case back in May of 2021. So we will see if Linda Stanley and her investigators can come up with a body, which they think they can. We will wait and see. And if you missed it, we went live today when we heard this breaking news about the motion to dismiss. And we went through an analysis of that as well. And don't forget to check out yesterday's video where I said, if they're going to dismiss, now would be the time. All right, next on the docket, Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell. There was a hearing this morning in regards to the motion for a change of venue. As you may recall, the judge determined and ordered that there is no way for neither Lori Vallow nor Chad Daybell to receive a fair trial there in Idaho, specifically in Madison and Fremont counties there in Idaho. So the court said, we're going to have the trial in Idaho on the other side of the state. And now the prosecution has filed a couple of motions and they wanted to continue the motions hearing today, but the judge said, no, bring your witnesses, let's hear it. What's the basis of it? They think it's too expensive to pack up all of their entire office for the next 4 weeks that this case is set for. So they want to pick the jury in Idaho and then bus them back down to Madison County where the trial will take place. And then they will hold the trial there, basically sequestering the jury and holding them hostage instead of the other way around, so to speak. Well, what happened at the hearing today? Well, obviously, Chad Daybell's attorneys asked the judge to dismiss the hearing, which he denied he's going to have it. And the Fremont County Clerk, Abby Mace, was called as a witness. Special Prosecutor Rachel Smith states that Daybell chose the venue for his trial when he murdered his wife, JJ and Tylee, in Fremont counties. Now, there are 104 people listed as potential witnesses when the Daybell-Vallow case actually goes to trial. Needless to say, that is expensive. The prosecution has to basically pay to get them there. And if they're going to be there for a long time, they have to house them, they have to feed them. That's right, they have to cover their costs. And the prosecution has come up with their estimate that they believe that the cost of prosecution would be some $269,000 if they were to do the trial in Fremont County, and it would be almost another $100,000 more if they were moving to Ada County. Well, justice is expensive. They shouldn't worry about that at all. A Lieutenant Travis Ruby from the Ada County Sheriff's Office testified, and then the Rexburg Police Chief Shane Truman, he took the stand. And what did they talk about? They explained that They worked for the prosecution to come up with how much it will cost. The department moved to trial to Ada County some $231 per day to have his employees go to Ada County. Fremont County Sheriff Len Humphrey is called as a final witness. basically the same thing, how expensive it's going to be to move people across the state and pay for them. Costs should not be a factor when it comes to making sure that a death penalty case that people receive, for lack of a better term, super due process, so that everybody gets a fair trial and there are no issues on appeal. Now, Lori Vallow's attorney was there and said they are in agreement that the location of the trial should be held based upon the court's previous decision there in Ada County. Basically, the court adjourned and stated that they will, in fact, release. After closing arguments, the court stated that they will take the matter under advisement and order a written order. Let's hope they keep it in Ada. Move it. Don't create issues. Next on the docket, Johnny Depp. As we were making this video, literally, Johnny Depp was testifying. Just my general assessment, Mr. Depp is not a good witness. And the problem when you have actors as witnesses, well, you never know if they're telling the truth or are they acting. Well, he wasn't going to win any Academy Awards, that's for sure. And he has a difficult time even stringing together a complete sentence. Now, the trial between Johnny Depp, his defamation lawsuit against his now ex-wife and actress Amber Heard, is currently underway in Virginia. Now, for those of you who do not know, Johnny Depp sued Heard back in 2019, alleging the article Heard wrote in the Washington Post about domestic violence was defamatory. Now, Depp is asking for $50 million in damages from Heard, and Heard countersued him for $100 million. Now, these proceedings began with a jury selection on April 11th in Fairfax, Virginia. Heard's witnesses are expected to include James Franco and Elon Musk. Now, a quick timeline. So back in 2012, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard start dating after Depp and his longtime partner, Vanessa Paradis, split. Now, Depp and Paradis have two children together, Lily Rose and Jack. Well, in March of 2014, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard are engaged, and 11 months later, they're married. They have two ceremonies, one at the Depp's home in L.A. and one at Depp's private island in the Bahamas. Now, in May of 2016, Heard files for divorce, citing irreconcilable differences. A judge also grants Heard a restraining order against Depp over allegations of domestic violence on his part. Now, Heard then alleges that Depp threw a cell phone at her, which hit her in the cheek and eye. She also said that he hit her, screamed at her, grabbed her face, and pulled her hair. Depp has denied all of these allegations of domestic abuse, and his lawyers allege in a court document in 2016 that Heard was attempting to secure a premature financial resolution by alleging abuse. Well, throw in the LAPD, that's right, the Los Angeles Police Department, and the LAPD said in May of 2016 that police officers who responded to an alleged domestic incident radio call on the 21st of that month found no evidence of any crime. Heard's legal team has since subpoenaed the LAPD officers in connection with that same call as part of their ongoing defamation case against Depp. Now, in August of 2016, the divorce is actually settled, and in January of 2017, the divorce is ultimately finalized. In June of 2018, Depp sues News Group newspaper, the company that publishes The Sun, over an article with the headline, "Gone Potty. How can J.K. Rowling be genuinely happy casting wife-beater Johnny Depp in the new Fantastic Beasts film?" Depp eventually loses that case. And in December of 2018, Heard publishes an op-ed in the Washington Post titled, "I Spoke Up Against Sexual Violence and Faced Our Cultural Wrath. That has to change," she writes. Then 2 years ago, she states that she became a public figure representing domestic abuse, and she felt the full force of our culture's wrath on women who speak out. Depp isn't mentioned by name in the op-ed at all. In fact, the op-ed would later become the basis of the $50 million defamation lawsuit filed by Depp, naming Heard as the defendant. Well, in March of 2019, Johnny Depp sues Amber Heard, alleging she defamed him in her Washington Post op-ed. That lawsuit was to go to trial in London in July of 2020. Depp's lawyers argued that he was seeking vindication, not money, and Depp himself denies the allegations of domestic abuse. A spokesperson for Heard says that she never asked for these proceedings to take place and has tried to move on with her life. While that trial lasts for 3 weeks, with explosive allegations emerging as part of the evidence and testimony. Those proceedings concluded in July, and in August of 2020, Heard files a countersuit for $100 million against Depp, accusing him of allegedly orchestrating a smear campaign against her and describing his own lawsuit as a continuation of abuse and harassment. Well, in November of 2020, Depp loses the libel case against The Sun, and in March of 2021, Depp is denied permission to appeal that loss. And then finally, in April of 2022, this case, the defamation case, finally starts and goes to trial. Now, Depp has suffered a significant setback before this trial began because the judge, a woman by the name of Penny Ezcarte, found that Heard could argue that her op-ed deals with a matter of public interest. So Depp's legal team had tried to argue that Heard shouldn't be able to rely on Virginia's anti-SLAPP legislation. Now, anti-SLAPP laws, which stand for anti-strategic lawsuits against public participation, are designed to protect people from being sued when they speak out on matters of public interest. Judge Ezcarte ruled that Heard could, in fact, invoke Virginia's anti-SLAPP legislation in her defense and argue to the jury that it should apply to her op-ed. Needless to say, ladies and gentlemen, the jury in this particular case hopefully will decide this case once and for all. I'm not sure how many more people Johnny Depp could actually sue in regards to this. People will either believe the allegations or not, but Amber Heard has never mentioned his name on it. I don't know how this is ultimately going to come out, but if I was a betting man, I'd think Amber Heard is probably going to win this one. We'll have to wait and see. Who knows what the jury's thinking? It's been interesting to watch. Next on the docket, an update on Orsalia Gall, okay? That was the woman who was stabbed to death in her home in the early hours of Saturday after she returned home from a night out with friends. Now, police are saying they believe she was attacked by somebody that she knew. Now, based upon evidence that there was no sign of forced entry into the home. So there's some new camera footage that shows the moment Gall's killer rushed down the sidewalk with her body in a hockey duffel bag where she'd been stabbed at least 60 times, obviously resulting in her death. Now, no suspects have been named, but police sources are alleging that they have identified a person of interest. Now, NYPD isn't confirming that, but, and I don't know about you, but it kind of looks like a smaller individual, perhaps maybe even a child, does it not? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. While the detectives are trying to reach at least three men whose numbers were found in Gall's cell phone as people she has been texting recently. It was also reported that Gall sat at a bar in their Forest Hills neighborhood for about 40 minutes before returning home on Friday night. Neighbors at the scene have been paid tribute to Gall, saying that she was a nice mother and a nice person. This could turn out to be one of the 12 undeniable truths from a criminal defense attorney. That's right, me. Everybody has a double life. It could turn out to be very weird indeed. And then another update. The 15-year-old boy yesterday who police say they believe that he intentionally set his home on fire, which ultimately killed his younger sister, who is 10 years old, was charged today with malice murder and felony murder. Arson charges are likely pending the fire department's investigation. An early Easter morning, for those who do not know, Zoe McHugh, she was 10, was trapped inside her upstairs bedroom with no windows and was killed by the fire. Police found and arrested Zoe's 15-year-old brother later that day. So far, the motive behind the fire is unknown. Now, two other people who lived in the home, the victim's father and another sibling, were not at home at the time the fire broke out. So, what is felony murder? Basically, if somebody dies in the commission of a felony, like arson, you can be charged with first-degree murder, which basically means the maximum penalty for murder. Malice, what is that? Basically, it's not basically a complete reckless disregard for the truth. You don't care of the consequences. Not good for a 15-year-old. Was it an accident? Was it intentional? Poor kid who's going to have to deal with causing the death of his sister. Or maybe he just has a malice heart and doesn't care. Well, only time will tell. Next in the docket, don't drug the kids, particularly at daycare. Okay, as parents, when you've flown with small children, you think, well, maybe a little bit of NyQuil won't, it'll make you get it through the flight, you know, keep them occupied. But I do not recommend this, okay? Don't give them THC-filled goldfish. And that's what a Virginia daycare owner has been accused of and arrested after 3 1-year-old children under their care allegedly ingested THC goldfish crackers while at the daycare. Now, the toddler's parents reportedly noticed their lethargic and uncoordinated behavior and glassy, bloodshot eyes and took them to the Stafford Hospital. Once in the hospital, the staff quickly recognized that the toddlers were suffering from THC exposure and later confirmed through tests describing the drug as the main psychoactive compound in cannabis that produces a high sensation. Officers responded to the hospital, and officials determined the common link between the 3 children was a woman by the name of Rebecca Swanner. She's a 60-year-old daycare worker, and detectives searched the home and found the goldfish crackers near the toddler's high chair. Tests later confirmed that the crackers were in fact laced with THC. Not surprisingly, Child Protective Services was then alerted, and the daycare center voluntarily surrendered their license. Good call, because it was going to be taken away. Now, Ms. Swanner turned herself in to the police and was charged with 3 counts of cruelty and injury to children. She was promptly released on a $2,000 unsecured bond, where she immediately began taking care of children. Okay, just joking. She wasn't taking care of children. She shouldn't do that. She's not good at it, okay? She's just not good at it. Don't do it. Now, of course, the neighbors are all in shock, because they all thought that Ms. Swanner was running a daycare since she's been there, and she's such a good person and has an excellent reputation. And maybe she's the one that needed the THC-laced crackers to help get her through the day and simply forgot. Well, the reality of it is you can't drug your children, ladies and gentlemen, at least not if it's not prescribed. Okay? And yes, Ms. Swanner is not a good daycare provider. She's not. Just remember that. You know how everybody always says, oh, they're good. They're a good daycare provider. I mean, they beat the children, but they were always so good. No, they're not a good daycare provider. They're beating the children, okay? And in this case, they're making them high on THC. 3 kids who are 1-year-old. That is not a good daycare provider. She needs to find a new line of work. Next in the docket, our dumb criminal of the day. A shirtless man broke into a restaurant and helped himself to some desserts in Florida. Deputies caught 42-year-old John Castor burglarizing the Red Wing restaurant and said he had a small box with him in his backpack. The police said that while searching Mr. Castor, they found a stainless steel pan filled with a cobbler, a lava cake, and a large tub of vanilla ice cream on his person. The items stolen from the restaurant were worth about $200, and the police stated that Mr. Castor has been arrested for theft several times over the past several years. Well, at least Mr. Castor took this for his own pleasure and enjoyment, unlike the cereal pie thrower who was smashing people with pies in their faces in South Carolina yesterday. So apparently Mr. Castor does not want to make everybody happy by putting pies in their faces, getting a good chuckle out of it. He just wants to eat the desserts. Once again, our dumb criminal of the day, had he just kept his mouth shut, maybe he could have walked away and the vanilla ice cream would have melted in his backpack. Well, maybe the evidence won't be preserved, and then the cost of the theft went down, and maybe it'll be a reduction of charges. You never know. Maybe it's Mr. Castor's lucky day. All right. Thanks for watching. We hope to see you all this evening, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, for our live show. We got a couple things to talk about. We can probably start with, well, Barry Morphew, Lori Vallow, Chad Daybell, you know, and we'll see how things go from there. All right. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.